Trinity Fremont, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we reflect on this past Sunday sermon and give practical starting points to help you live it out, your faith, in your family, and in your community.
Well, howdy, y'all. How's it going today?
Most excellent.
Yeah.
That wasn't
fantastic.
Muted, was it?
Fantastic.
What was funny about it, I had it all muted. And then the second I unmuted, Lacey's like, anyways.
There you go.
So, Gerbs, how do you like the couch?
Good morning.
There? Oh.
What?
You're not in the couch. Where are you?
No, I'm not in the couch. I am in my basement. I'm hiding.
Are you like Biden?
You can see my bed. I am under quarantine again. Yay. My body typically falls apart whenever I get done with a long stretch of things. So like after Easter or after Christmas, I usually hit this couple days of just body shutdown, which I'm pretty sure that's what this is again. Pretty sure doesn't count anymore. I am awaiting COVID test results. And the one beautiful thing that I learned now about Test Nebraska is now it's double the fun because they test both nostrils with one stick. And so that's it's just a great joy.
Visual.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yay. Can't wait.
Yeah. So how have you guys had a COVID test yet? Or am I the only one that has?
My wife did about a month and a half ago, and we did a drive up test in Omaha, and you know, they came to the car door, and they're just like, all right, it'll be 5 turns in each nostril. And so they did that for her, and the second they stepped away, she goes, that was definitely 10. I counted.
they use the same stick?
I don't know. I don't recall that. But then again, I wasn't the one getting the test.
Yeah.
I was just watching the whole process. I'm like, thank God this isn't me. Thank God this isn't me.
Yeah.
That's great.
I've not had that joy either, but my little one has. So, and he was a trooper. Jeff was so proud when he took Hudson for his drive-through test. And yeah, he rocked it. If you could rock a Q-tip up your nostril, he did that.
You ever see the Babylon Bee article that says that they shouldn't have Chick-fil-A do all the drive-through tests and get everybody in America done in like a matter of 2 minutes or something?
Yeah. I like Chick-fil-A, but it's an expensive place, so we don't go there very often. But when one was built in Lincoln near the in-laws place, I went and I was kind of nervous when somebody walked up to my window halfway down the line and like knocked on it and like, what do you want? I'm like, I don't know. they're efficient.
Pastor Gerber was intimidated by Chick-fil-A drive-through.
Yeah,
I was.
I was
intimidated by being in the presence of a higher power.
That's awesome. Well, at least we know we get intimidated by something. Chick-fil-A is one of those.
Chick-fil-A and bench press. Those are the two things I get intimidated by.
We're also missing somebody.
We're also missing still. So if you're wondering why it's Thursday and the podcast is coming out rather than Wednesday, I was out of commission Tuesday. I barely got out of bed. And so we pushed back recording to Thursday, but my wife already had a commitment. My beautiful bride already had a commitment for this morning. So she is in a different meeting also in our home. So she's upstairs on Zoom while I'm down here talking to you guys. She's out today. She's feeling okay. I think she's exhausted from having to be a single mom while I lay around all day, but
sounds about right.
Yeah.
All right.
That's not normal. I don't normally just lay around all the time at home. I try and help out as a dad. All right. So who else is here? We talked about me and my home. How about there? Who's here? Who are y'all?
This Paul points at me. Good morning, everyone. I am Lacey. You guys should be familiar with me because I say all the weird things at the wrong time and forget what I do.
And you were missing last week.
And I was missing last week because I was making children pretty. Okay, that sounds horrible. I was... That sounds really bad. See, not good with the words. So on I'm
when someone points it out after they've said it, it just makes it worse. Yeah, I wasn't thinking it. Now I am.
It sure does. I got to, I don't even know how to say it. It was picture day at school and they needed help due to COVID. The photographers were not able to. Yeah, we're just going to stop this conversation. I've got two boys. One is almost 12 and one is 8. And they're fantastic.
All right.
And I'm just going to leave it at that. And Casey, I got to spend the other day with your beautiful wife.
Yes. And anyone who spends any amount of time with her is lucky.
Aw, I'm lucky.
Yes. But I'm Casey, and I don't have too much to say beyond that, other than my wife is way out of my league, and anyone who has any time to spend with her is instantly blessed because she's awesome.
Oh, I also spent time last Sunday with your wife. That sounds bad, too. It was at church. He actually sang in worship team with us, so I welcome him back. My name is Paul. I am the producer of this podcast, which means I get to point at people and say, talk. Well, verbally, unverbally, whatever. I also have a beautiful wife who I made mad this morning because I accidentally made decaf coffee.
Ooh.
And then instead of course, me thinking that I was going to make it right, I threw that decaf coffee down the sink and she said, what are you doing? I should have drank that. You just wasted a cup of coffee. And I'm like, but it was decaf, so it wasn't really coffee. And she still got mad at me. So it didn't matter what I did. I was still mad. She was still mad at me. So I made her another cup of coffee with caffeine.
And then life was good.
It. Yeah, and I don't know if it's good or not. I haven't talked to her since. Yeah. So we'll find out whether or not the decaf down the... I mean, I didn't... I was like, why do we even have this in the house?
I was just going to ask you that. I'm like, why?
By the way, I don't drink coffee, so I just grab a K-cup and say, yep, this looks good. I didn't read. I don't know what kind. I don't know what it is. It's just like, yes, it says coffee somewhere on this thing. It doesn't say apple cider or hot chocolate.
I love apple cider.
I'm also not a coffee drinker, but my wife is, and I used to try and get the right coffee or order the right coffee, and I realized that my trying, the effort is good, the outcome is not. So I've learned, just write it down. I can't screw it up if you write it down.
I feel like she's more of a coffee connoisseur because she's adamant about her coffee.
Yes.
We'll just leave it that way. Mm-hmm. Like in a nice way, but
she knows what she likes.
Yeah, she sure does.
Sure sounds like we need to get her on this podcast one day.
I think maybe we should. That would be funny.
Mm-hmm. Is there a Tuesday coming up in the future where there's no school?
Probably.
As I say, that's usually like the Tuesdays and the Wednesdays on the school calendar are like the ones that never get called off unless it's a snow day.
Yeah. Unless we record next Thursday. Isn't next Thursday off again too?
Yeah, Thursday.
Next Thursday is, but.
That's after when we want to release stuff, so.
Yeah. It is, so.
Schedules.
All right, let's bring her back around
here. All right, so how's God messing with y'all? What's God doing in your lives, whether it's based on something that kind of got brought up in the sermon or life in general? How's God working in your lives?
God messes with my brain and makes it very confusing because just when I think I have a grasp on, say, for example, Mark 2, I have an example of fasting and why were we fasting? And John and his disciples were fasting, but Jesus's disciples were not fasting. And here I thought I understood that John was a disciple of Jesus. And then I was curious why he was fasting. Then I found out that it was John the Baptist who was not a disciple of Jesus. So yeah, he completely just, thank you, Pastor Gerber, for blowing my mind in confirmation, and your confirmation message and your sermon messages do not match up. So I have way too much Jesus going one way and then Jesus going the other way. So it's like a one-way street with two cars of Jesus coming at me. But it's all a positive thing because I'm learning a lot.
Satan.
That's true. But I'm learning a lot, but I'm totally confused more than I usually am.
Wow. Yeah. It can be tough because for confirmation, we've been going through Jesus and the Gospels. For sermon stuff, we've been going through Malachi. And so very different, very, very different modes of teaching in that. So yeah, it can be difficult to kind of separate those, but also keep them together because you want to kind of move in one direction as a family and you can't take 14 baby steps at once. Instead, you want to take one baby step and then take another baby step. So, yeah.
But are you taking that baby step in the right direction?
We'll talk about that one later.
See?
Oh.
See what you did there.
I did. It was a transition.
It's like Lacey knows what we're going to talk about today, or she listened to the sermon, and so she knows what we're going to talk about today.
I listened to the sermon.
Well, it was on Sunday. Well done.
It's now Thursday. Of course,
That is the beauty of recording on Tuesday, is I can still remember what I preached on.
Yeah, of course, we do have the opportunity to go to the podcast and listen to the sermon that you post on Monday.
Yes, posted on Tuesday because I didn't get out of bed.
Schedules all out of whack. Cats and dogs are living together. I don't know.
Pigs are Jesus gonna fly coming tomorrow. At you on both ways of the street.
That's right. Telling you, it's a dangerous world out there.
All right.
Paul's laughing at me.
I have to. All right. So, what are we doing?
So how's God messing with you? What are some other ways God's messing with you right now?
Oh, Lacey mentioned that. Casey, you have anything to say?
Sure. the big thing that's been, it's kind of connection with the Sunday before and our podcast from last week about tithing, but particularly towards the end of that conversation of last week's podcast, we talked about how God will take care of so you have no more need. And right now I have a lot of, it makes it sound trivial, but kind of like wants for my goals on a lot of areas that I've, whether it's professional or personal. And the message I've gotten from God these last couple of weeks is hurry up and wait. So it's the I got this right now, you need to wait.
I can't
and that's where I'm at right now, and I'm doing my best to it's like I would love to go forward on some of these things, but God is like in one way or another, it's like it'll come, but not right now.
That's what I say to my husband when I'm like, I really could use another dog, I'd like another dog, and he's like, no. I'm like, well, I'll just wait, maybe one day a dog will appear on my doorstep, a little one. Exactly. See,
yeah, I'm sorry, I was doing a producer moment there. So it's I was fixing
Merry
something.
Christmas.
Happy New Year. Okay, we're way off base today.
Okay, well, this is what I'm reason why God was messing with me all week this week. I had very specific things I was doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then not just Gerber, but a bunch of different people were like, I can't do it, I gotta move this thing. And so my whole schedule is like shifted, and like everything I was supposed to be doing on Tuesday, I'm doing on Thursday today. And not just this, but other stuff. And I'm like, why is everything all wonky? And it's just completely throwing off my brain. And it's also the fact that I looked at the weather today and it's supposed to be like 90 or something.
Now only 82.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's today. Tomorrow it's supposed to be like 89.
Oh, what is going on?
I don't know. I thought it was fall time. Like, let's bust out some, hot
pumpkins
cocoa
on the porch.
And pumpkins on the porch. And the leaves are changing and it's gorgeous, but it does not feel like fall outside.
Yeah.
Like, it needs to wake up and you go outside and you take that breath of fresh air and your nostrils freeze. This is not happening yet.
It's going to feel like that for 2 days and then it's just going to dump us straight into winter.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what I'm afraid of. That's what happens in Nebraska. It just kind of goes, hey, here's 2 weeks of fall. And then winter.
Yep.
And then in the spring, it's like, here's 2 weeks of spring and then summer. And you're just like, wait a minute, I like spring and fall. I like that be longer than 2 weeks or 2 days and whatever.
Although an older gentleman did tell me that on Halloween, we're supposed to get a blizzard according to some, farmer's almanac or something. I can't remember what
when you started off
weather apparatus he was using to find that information. So when I'm curious.
When you started off with some older gentleman told me about the weather, I was like, please don't have this end with, because he found through some magic beans that it said this.
No. Maybe it was the magic eight ball. Will there be a blizzard on Halloween?
So
it is decidedly so.
So answer your question, Gerber. I think we're all
Farmer's Almanac.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and that's pretty much the same as a Ouija board, right?
Yeah. Okay. No, not a Ouija board. Magic eight ball.
Oh, eight ball.
There you go.
Stay away.
Okay. So to answer your question, Gerber, about what's how's God messing with us? He's just like, hey, how you think that you have control of everything? Oh, but you don't. You don't really have control over anything, and you're just gonna have to go with the flow. Guess what? That's what life is. So anyways, that answers your question. There you go.
Peace. Yeah, there you go.
I'm out.
Casey, as you were talking about tithing, it was interesting. One of my, one of the guys in our congregation, he mentioned to me that he and his wife were talking about tithing. And one of the things that kind of stuck with him is there was somebody that owed him some money for a job that the job was, I think, in August, but hadn't paid. And they just made a decision as a family, we should tithe on this, even though we haven't gotten it yet. We haven't been paid yet. we're going to tithe on it. This is what God's calling us to do, to trust him in this way. And on Tuesday, so the sermon was Sunday. They decided, like, this was last Sunday. They made that decision before they could even write the check on Tuesday. The guy came to his house and dropped off the check for the job. And it just was like, that was one thing where God was just like, hey, remember, sometimes I'm just going to be obvious to you. I'm just going to speak this obviously to you because it's important. So I think God has it's cool when God can show those things too, and just be obvious with people and say, hey, by the way, don't forget, I gotcha. And then so this week we closed out our series on the fight against spiritual boredom. We closed out Malachi, and as we were looking at it, what it basically was is we get down to the end of it, and God basically asks his people, which way are you going to go? Are you going to go back to what's comfortable, back to what's familiar, back to what's easy? Are you going to take the main way that everybody else is taking, blend in with the people around you? Or are you going to trust the directions that I have given you? Because God has given us a bunch of directions through the book of Malachi. God reminded us that we are connected to others, so that our sin, we shouldn't hide our sin, and it's not just our own. Our sin affects those around us. God has said, hey, remember that money that you think is yours is not yours. It's something that I've entrusted to you. And God encourages us to connect with others. And so he says, are you going to go back to what's familiar, or are you going to move forward? Are you going to go in the directions that I have given you, the directions that are different than what the people are doing around you? Which way are you going to go? And so we could just ask the question, well, which way are you going to go today? But I think that would kind of pretty quickly end the podcast. I hope we would all say, we're going to trust the directions that God has given us and go that way.
Well,
I know. That's easier to say than to do. Mm-hmm. It's easy to say, well, yeah, I'm going to follow God's directions, but I like to control this area. So I'm going to hide this. I'm going to hold this area over here. And so the question is, what are some starting points? What are some ways that you as a family can think about, how do we know if we're following God's directions? But then or how do we follow God's directions? How do we make sure that we're following the path that God has set up for our family? And that turns from a easy yes, no question to like one of the most difficult questions that we could ask. And so there you go, for y'all, the most difficult question that I could ask you, what are some steps that you can take to follow the directions that God has given you in your life?
I think the most basic starting point that you have to start at in anything dealing with the Bible is to actually take time to look at the Bible. And of course, being in church is incredibly important, and hearing the reading in the sermon is I can't speak to how important that is. But if we're not looking at, like, the section of scripture that is read is between, you know, 5 and 10 verses, sometimes a little longer, but, you know, 5 to 10 verses out of how many chapters in the Bible doesn't give us, I think, the whole picture. And if we're wanting to understand what God has called us as people to do, I think for me, it's the challenge of daily opening scripture. How do I know what God wants for me if I'm not reading what God says? You know, and don't get me wrong, hearing the reading in church is important, but out of all the things God said, if we're going to limit it to 5 to 10 verses per week of what we hear, yeah, it's going to be a lot harder to know what is his direction and how does he want us to live.
I'm going to say something, but I don't even know how to say it, because that's my MO. Everybody's looking at me and some are smiling and laughing, but I don't know. It's hard to, you think that you're following a life or leading a life that God would want you to lead or live, but then yet you question things that you're doing. You know, like, you might pull up that scripture and you might read it and it says the only thing I can remember, and I know this is way off the wonky, is with the wineskins. You cannot put new wine into old wineskins because they will break. Well, so you think, okay, you know what? I won't mix the old with the new. But the old is sometimes familiar to you. It's comforting to you. And something new, like reading the Bible or reading a devotion or just learning how to pray, is new for some of us. You know, we may have never grown up that way. We have never maybe seen our parents do that. So it's hard, because you want to lead a good life. You want to feel the blessings that God is able to give you and accept the blessings that God is able to give you. But you may just not be willing to try, if that makes any any sense at all?
Usually you make some sense.
I know.
No. So yeah, it's hard to realize, well, what is God saying to me, and what is something that I want? What is the good that God puts in front of me? But at the same time, there are things that I want, and so I'd rather do this because it's what I want. But it seems good. Maybe it's the old, the familiar. It feels like it should be good. But is this exactly the direction that God has placed on me? And that's a really tough question for a lot of people, because it's so easy to just look back at, well, this is because I want to do this, or because I want to live this way. It must be what God has said for me, because he's placed this desire on my heart. Therefore, it has to be good and godly. And there are things where, like, yeah, if God places something in your heart, follow that. But there are times where Satan does the same thing, where he's like, hey, you know what? Why don't I make you a really good athlete? Why don't I take this athleticism that God has given to you and use it for a reason for you to not be in worship? Maybe your desires don't line up with God's desires, even though this thing, this athleticism is good. But now Satan likes to twist that just a little bit. Satan never doesn't just jump out and say, hey, don't love Jesus. But he likes to take things and just twist them a little bit so that we start questioning, well, do I really need to be in worship, or can I just do my own thing? So it's that's why I said this goes from the easiest question of do I want to follow God's will, to one of the most difficult questions we could ever ask is how do you best follow God's will? And one of the things that I like to talk about, like in confirmation, we've talked a lot about this, is baby steps. You need to know where you're going. All right. And that's how, right, Casey, yes, we've got to be in God's word. We've got to hear the direction that he is placing us. We need to be in prayer. We need to be seeking his will. But then we just one baby step at a time. If for an individual or for a family, we don't read the Bible at home, well, a baby step is not saying, you know what, instead, we're going to start reading the Bible 4 hours a day as a family. That's not going to happen. It's not going to work. For a family, then the baby step is, hey, for the next month, twice a week, we're going to find a time to sit down as a family and read the Bible. Now, maybe it's, hey, we know what pastor's preaching on this week, and so because it came in the weekly email, and so we're going to read that together as a family so that when we get to worship, we're prepared. We've heard the text. We're not coming in blind. We kind of know what we're going to be hearing in worship. We can already start to prepare on it. We can start to reflect on it as a family first, and then see how the pastor wants to kind of shape that and mold that. Or it's, hey, we found this devotion. But it's more than just, hey, let me read this and then walk away and do something different. It's okay. We read this. This is new information. Now let's reflect on it. Let's talk about it. Let's see how this actually impacts our lives. And then let's live differently because of it. Right. You've heard me say it before. Information, and the Bible, it is more than just information, but often we just use it as information. Can I get the trivia question right? But information does not lead to growth and change, but information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Ray said it in the intro. It's not just about knowing the right stuff. It's about taking that and living it out.
And I couldn't agree more on that. And I think one of the things that can pull me away from not just life change for more godly living, but also for anything, is if I don't have an end goal in mind. And I think you see that with a lot of people. I mean, New Year's resolutions would be one of the first ones you look at. You make this general, really good statement. I'm going to eat healthier. Well, that's a very good statement in general, but there's no boundaries. There's no end goal in sight, and there's no timeline or baby step to start from. And so you see so many things things like New Year's resolutions or good ideas go to waste because they don't start with a goal and they don't have steps to get there. And it's one of the things I admire so much in some of the superstar athletes who are above and beyond what we are, like the Tom Brady's, the Michael Jordan's of the world, is, you know, they knew and know their end goal when they're doing something. And it means that they've got to take necessary steps to get there. And I would say, as one of those first baby steps, for at least that helps me, is it's not just saying, I'm going to live more godly, I'm going to read my, you know, I'm going to try and be a better person. Like, that is a great statement, but it's also next to impossible to measure. It's next to impossible to fulfill, because you could say, I read my Bible twice, so now I'm a better person. Well, yeah, you are. you could measure it that way. So I like to find one area I particularly want to improve on. And tithing, going back to these last couple, both last week and a couple weeks before that, if there's one area to wake from my spiritual boredom, it was that tithing thing. Is we needed to get a little bit more serious and track it a lot more. And that was our baby step. That doesn't mean that after that, hopefully, you know, as this becomes part of our habit, that I just say, you know what, I did enough, I'm gonna keep everything else the same. You start a baby step somewhere else, but you do it with an end goal in mind.
Yeah, and so there's this fine balance between this large general, too general of an idea that we want to head in that direction, but don't really know what that direction is. There's a fine balance between that and so small and so specific, that, like, because even the baby step of, well, I'm going to read the Bible, which it might be a good step for some, but for others, like, it could just be very easy of, like, well, I read some words, I checked it off the box, and now I'm on with the rest of my day. This whatever happened doesn't really affect anything. And so there's this balance between being way too general and having no direction, and being way too specific, that you just, like, your whole goal is just to check it off. And so there are times where it turns from, I want to do this to head in this direction, to I want to do this because it's on my checklist, and so I need to check it off the box. And that's where it can get difficult to make any progress forward, because the whole progress is, did I check it off the box, rather than did this lead to any growth or change in my life?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I know a lot of people who will study the Bible line by line and then take a week just studying that one line and looking at all the different translations and looking at all the different things, and then go, okay, I studied that, let me go to the next line. But then they miss that reflection part. They sit there and, I know all this stuff, and and the Greek of this word is this, and it's like, great, you're still a jerk, you know. So I'm glad you know all that, but I do. That's why I love doing this podcast, is because we do get to reflect on these things in a deep manner without getting into the weeds of every little. I mean, because sometimes when I sit here and talk to Gerbs or I talk to Casey, sometimes it's just like, oh, you're gonna bring up the Greek word. No, that's great. You know, I love that it's clarifying, and I get the point, but sometimes it's just like, I that's not what I need right now. I just need to know, you know, how am I supposed to, like, where am I supposed to go with this information? It's like, great. And we got in the conversation last night about the in Genesis, and they're talking about the Nephilim, and they're like, oh, we got to read every little line. Go in, and I'm sitting there going, what is, that's great information to know. I don't know how this is going to, you know, make sure that I don't swear at the next guy who cuts me off in traffic, kind of thing. So I don't know if that's kind of what you're talking about, P. Gerbs, which is, sorry.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, there are times that we can get lost, and we do that too here. But that's part of, for us, it's part of that conversation, and we'll pull ourselves out every once in a while. We'll realize that, oh, we went down this random rabbit trail. Right, Lacey? What does Christos mean?
Put her on the spot.
I know.
We talked about this last night.
Yeah, but so know. Instead of what does Christos mean? Christos, not Christoph. Right, the Christ.
And all I'm thinking now is Christmas. So
there you go.
Wrong rabbit hole.
The anointed one.
Yes.
But instead of you caring so much about, well, what does this one word mean in the Greek? The more important question for me, as we went through confirmation last night, is what is your family going to do differently because of who Jesus is and the gospels that teach us that? Right. And so, like, information is important. Diving in, like, you can grow in faith by diving into the Greek and diving into the Hebrew, and you can learn more information. But if it just stays in the realm of information, I'm not going to say it's a waste of time, but it's not as beneficial as it could be. Mm-hmm. It's never a waste of time to dive into God's word and to dive into more information about that. But God didn't give us his word so that we could just know the words on the page and so that we could show off. I mean, that's what the Pharisees did. They mm-hmm. showed off all of their knowledge about the Bible, about the Old Testament, but they didn't live it. It didn't mean anything other than to, and even when they did live it, the whole point of it was to shove it in people's faces that I'm better than you. And so, you know, that's not what this is about. It's about how can I love my neighbor? How can I show God's goodness so that the people around me see how good God is and give glory to God in all of that?
And I think you hit it on the head there is you said it's all about loving your neighbor. And it pulls me back to 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 13 is the one that talks about love. And you know, it lists all these things that we can understand and even treat people right. But if we do it without love, the line that always gets me is if I give up my life for, and I'm going to misquote it horribly here, but you know, essentially if I lay down my life for God, but I don't do it in love, then I've given nothing. And it's that's the problem with doing something just to do it. It will wind up being hollow. It will wind up, it's not going to, if you're just checking it off a list, you know, God is certainly working through anything that comes with studying his word. So there always is something beneficial. I don't want to discredit the power of God's word. But on the other hand, if you're doing it without love or without the motivation of life change, then you aren't going to get as much out of it as what God would want out of it, what would want you to have out of it. It's not about, you know, you mentioned, I love what you said there, Paul. It's like, who cares what the Greek says if it doesn't change what I do? You know, and you know,
paraphrasing.
Very much paraphrasing. And it's not like on the last day when Jesus returns, he's not going to pull all of us aside and give us a pop quiz on what this chapter of Hebrews said.
You know? Oh, I totally fail that.
In the Greek. Make sure you do it in the Greek.
Absolutely. It's got to be Greek.
I'm just saying, you know, you're going to do it.
Anytime it talks about how Jesus looks at our life, it's how we love each other and how we love those around us and him.
Yeah. So 1 Corinthians 13, and normally when we hear this, you know, you hear this text at a wedding, we always start with verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. But 1 Corinthians starts out with, and I love, like, this is one of my favorite verses that talks about kind of what we're talking about here. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, so if I throw around all the Greek and Hebrew, or if I'm filled with the Spirit enough to be able to speak another language, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I am annoying. How many of you love when, like, you're trying to talk and kids are running around just like playing their made up instruments and clanging their drums around or whatever, right? Like, isn't that just glorious and just makes us all feel great?
And I was
always,
whenever I hear that section of it, it makes, I forget what TV show it is, but it was one of the side characters that's the know-it-all, and anytime they butt in with information, like, it's always like right and factual, but the rest of the cast of the show doesn't like it, and they always interrupt going, well, actually. And it's like,
the Greek says,
it's like, well, yeah, what you said was right, but that didn't help, and that wasn't what was needed right now. And
well, I still think what Gerbs, P. Gerbs, sorry, that's what it says on the screen, I'm sorry. you're talking about the Pharisees and the I'm better than you. There is how do I say this? There's a stigma with Christianity that we are better than them, better than mm-hmm. anybody. We have our nose turned up to be. And I muted you, but you know, whatever. and so, I mean, when we get into the weeds of, because I do think that there is a place for that. I think that you start looking at it as a scholar and you want to look at word for word and kind of, there's a place, time and place for that. But when you're trying to just talk to somebody who is struggling with faith and struggling with belief, to sit there and go, do you know that the Greek word for this is this and this is, and they're going to look at you like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. But it's not just, I mean, and that can go across the board. If you're just trying to talk about how ice is made and you're like, well, I hydrogen and oxygen when they get together, you know.
My life has changed.
and the molecules start slowing down as the temperature gets, and so they're not moving.
The molecule in the Greek word is this, and so
yeah,
I understand that, but I just want to make my drink cold.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
Absolutely. Like there are times where we can go off and really not be helpful, because it's about information. We tend to make it about information, and not about how does this affect my life. And so like it's interesting because two people can do the exact same thing, and God can look at one of them and say, well done. And God can look at the person who does the exact same thing and be like, yeah, that's not pleasing to me, because it's about the heart and the attitude. If I go around living as perfect a life as possible with the whole goal of everyone being able to see how great Pastor Gerber is, Jesus isn't a big fan of that. But if I go around out of gratefulness to all the good that God has done in my life and the good that he has done for me, and the whole goal is so that people can see how good God is, I can do the same things. But with the second one, with trying to give glory to God and all that I do, that is where God says, yep, that's what's pleasing to me. And so I think that's also a struggle, is because you can't just look at the outside and say, oh, look at all the good that this person is doing. They must be a great Christian. But also the reason we can get called hypocrites by those who are not Christians is when we try and point to ourselves as how great we are, as opposed to, like, as Lutherans, we're really good at saying, I'm a poor, miserable sinner. But thanks be to God that he has saved me. And now I can live out of thanksgiving and love to others, instead of coming across as, hey, because I'm saved, I'm now perfect. And look at me.
There was a, I forget if it was a devotional or a sermon that I had heard. This was years ago. But if you're one of our listeners who enjoys traditional worship, one of the most beautiful hymns in the hymnal is, Chief of Sinners Though I Be, Jesus Shed His Blood for Me. And at times, as Christians, it's very easy to slip into, in our heads, acting like, chief of sinners though I be, someone sins much worse than me. And it's
catchy.
Yeah, I know. But it's the attitude, and it's what goes back to what we talked about earlier. That's what Satan uses against all of us. Like, anything that God has created as good, he tries to distort. And even what we'll call progress and growth in our own spiritual lives, Satan is going to try and turn and use against, like, that speaks to the horrible being that he is. And part of that reflection that we talk about, you know, that Ray says at the beginning of every broadcast, is part of change is reflecting on our life and realizing that we're never going to be done improving. Like, God is always going to call us to grow in different areas. It's not like at some point we're going to graduate and be like, yes, I don't have to go back there anymore. It's a daily, lifelong challenge.
I think there's also, and B. Gerbs, you can correct me, there's an aspect of fearing the Lord that we're going to haven't even talked about. And so, I mean, what is proverb, something says something about, you know, wisdom comes from beginning of fearing the Lord or something like
the
that.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom.
I was somewhere. Yeah. Well,
he said it, but backwards.
In the original Greek, though, it said it the other way. So,
Well, that would have been Hebrew because it was the Old Testament.
Right.
Well, actually. But when I think of, because then there's somewhere else, and God, I wish I was a pastor. I probably memorized this stuff. First John somewhere, that fear, love, fear, punishment, something. Come on, pastors. I'm looking at Casey as well.
Not a pastor. Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
And that's
where's my Bible? I need it.
Like, that's one of the areas, like, even though I'm like, I'm a theology major and graduated in that, I can remember what Bible verses say. I am very bad at saying what book and chapter and verse that came from. Unless it's like one of those key verses I gravitate to, I can't tell you usually what book that came from. One of our, even earlier in the podcast, like, one of the most famous chapters in the Bible, and I had to double check, like, is it 1 Corinthians 13? I'm not even certain that's right.
Casey, that does make me feel better about myself, so thank you for that.
I know John 3:16. I got that one.
Well, okay, well, 1 John 4:18. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whomever fears has not been perfected. That's not how you spell it. Okay. Perfected in love. So what am I trying to say? Because you were bringing up, I know, Gerber's like, I don't know where you're going with this.
What are you saying? I don't know.
Well, I'm trying to bring it back around. You were talking about Corinthians talking about how we don't have love, then we're nothing. But then we don't have fear of the Lord, then we're not wise. But if we just fear, then because we're worried about punishment, then am I even making a circle here, or is it like a figure eight?
Yeah.
The problem is, I think these are two different fears. There's fear of the Lord, which absolutely. Let's find the Greek and the Hebrew here. No, the fear of the Lord is this, like, in awe and honor. Like, when we get into confirmation, Lacey, and a couple modules, when we get into the holiness of God, for the Bible Project, the picture that they give us is this, that God is like the sun. And in the sun, like if we try and fly to the sun, the sun is just going to consume us and just destroy us, not because the sun is bad, but because the sun has so much energy and is so
powerful,
bright. Yeah. And so we need the sun, but God is so holy that when we are unclean, when we are unholy, we cannot be in his presence. We cannot get close to him. The beauty of Jesus is when Jesus comes, you know, when Jesus came, when he died, even as he lived on the earth, when he came in the presence of uncleanness, which would, like in the Old Testament, we see, you know, if you touch a dead body, there are certain instances when you become unclean. It wasn't necessarily sinful. You just couldn't go in the presence of God. But Jesus, he doesn't take on uncleanness when he touches people who are sick or even dead. He makes them clean. He turns, and so he gives them his holiness. And that's what he's done for us in his death on the cross, through the baptism, through the hearing of his word. He gives us his holiness. And so the fear there is because God is so holy, I can't be in his presence without his help. And so there's the fear of being in his presence when we shouldn't be, when we're unclean, but Jesus makes us clean. The fear in 1 John 4 is just this general fear that we would talk about more, like I'm afraid of the boogeyman, or I'm afraid of even death. Like I'm afraid of doing anything that might lead to death, or I'm afraid the general fear, the anxiety that we have in this life, because if we fear those things, we can't love, because we're worried about ourselves rather than caring for others. We were kind of bringing it full circle, but the two fears don't match up like we might want them to.
And going off your second statement of fear there, I think that's talking about, you know, looking at the different directions of living the ways of the world versus living the ways of God. I think that the devil uses that second kind of fear to pull us back in calling us in our baptism. It's realizing we'll never be perfect. Like, and for some reason, this statement has, you know, a couple weeks ago, what was it? Mindfulness was being like thrown around as like all of us, particularly Stacy, had a lot of mindfulness thrown out. The one phrase that I'm not saying it's biblical, but that keeps getting echoed around me, and I've seen it multiple places these past couple weeks, is perfect is the enemy of the good, and in the light of goals. Because too often we look at, I can't be this, so I won't try at all. But the thing about being a Christian is we understand we are not perfect, and we will never do these things perfectly. And our sinful nature can at times pull us away from when we're not doing these things as God would call us to. It makes us want to quit trying. At least that's one of my challenges, is I'm not doing this well, so I might as well not try. And that's not the attitude that, you know, I mean, that's spiritual boredom to a T. I'm not good at this, I won't try. And what part of being on the path that God has called us to be is asking for forgiveness when we don't do these things, when we fall short. And it's never an if, it's a when. Like, you know, I have no doubt that even though my wife and I are very big on the tithe challenge, there is going to be a week or two, hopefully not more than that, but I have no doubt there's going to be a week or two where we slip up and we forget, or
are.
You know, God forbid we choose not to. It's, I have no doubt some, at some point in our lives, it's going to happen again. And that's where I lean on Bryce in going on the path that he has chosen and set out for me is asking for forgiveness when I stray.
All right. So yeah, that I think that's a great way to kind of wrap that up as we close things out, right? Go the direction, like go follow the directions that God has given us. That means we need to know the directions, right? We need to be in his word. But also we can't kill ourselves if we mess up. Turn to God. Anytime we try and slide back into that familiarity, anytime we slide back into what's comfortable, turn back, repent, turn away from your sin and turn to God who has brought you in, who has chosen you, who has brought you into his family, and loves you. And so, Lacey, do you want to close us in prayer today?
Sure. I loved your little point and hands. I thought that was nice. So I asked. Okay. Let us pray. Dear Jesus, I just want to praise you and thank you for everything that you have done for all of us and everyone that is listening to our podcast. And hopefully you can bring some more folks into our podcast and make things, I don't know, enjoyable for everyone. I also just want to thank you and ask you to give people the courage to just try. If someone has never prayed before, just show them how, you know, have somebody come into their lives to show them how. If they've never opened a Bible or even know where to find a Bible, just give them the tools and the knowledge and the ability to not feel so anxious about it and give it a shot because you are there for us and you have proven that over and over and will continue to do so. We also pray for everyone that is in our hearts and who we are thinking of. And we just pray that everyone stays healthy and some of us get our COVID test results back and we can be on our merry way. In Jesus' name, we pray all this for you. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782, or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate.